Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 369. Top of the day to you, Steph.
Top of the day to you too. It feels like we've been in the 360s for about 9 episodes.
This is the last one. Did I say 69? Yeah, okay. All of a sudden got worried that I said the wrong number.
You might have somewhere along the way.
Somewhere along the way it may have happened. Yeah, you're right. This.
But who's counting?
No one, really. This is an episode where we're going to do some watching suggestions, back to normal watching suggestions, because last week was the one about the influencers and stuff like that. Not influencers. Well, yeah, content creators. I would say. On YouTube, Instagram, Facebook,
TikTok. Enjoying watching all of our suggestions again.
Just going through them.
Yeah, and being like, I like these people.
Me too. I think they're cozy to watch. But I've also been doing some other watching. So I've got a couple of suggestions today. And the quiz I don't have. So we're going to try a random BuzzFeed movie quiz.
Okay, cool.
See how you go. But we do, before we get into any of that, have to be very serious and important because we have to do the
news.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
Oh, that was a nice one. I liked
2025.
Very, very good. Would you like to know? I'm gonna give a bit of a box office update.
Do it.
Because this is for America.
What's Wicked up to?
No, I want to talk about Robbie Williams' movie Better Man.
Oh.
You know the one where it's a monkey?
No.
Oh, okay. Wow, you've missed this. So the Variety headline says Robbie Williams' biopic Better Man tanks with $1 million debut. Of course, it's in America.
Yeah.
I'm sure the UK and Australia and other, like all through Europe, it'd be much better.
Only Australia, because there are so many people from the UK who live here now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely.
So hang on. Why is it a monkey?
Don't know.
I think that's the reason it's tanked. If it was about Robbie Williams.
It's a CGI monkey that's portraying Robbie.
That's the reason why it's tanked.
But it's gone quite well in other places. Anyway,
that's because people buy tickets at the beginning.
Robbie Williams has never really made it in America. I honestly think that's a big reason.
Why though?
Don't know. Same reason Kylie never made it as big as she should have.
True. Strange tastes over there, don't they?
Well, I mean, you think about it. They've got their own. We were talking about it last week about the Grammys.
Yeah.
And how watching the Grammys, you realize how different the music taste is. Yeah, we still like American singers, but then remember we used to watch Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
And their taste in music over in the UK is
different again.
So different to American stuff. So I totally get it, 100%. I do want to watch it because Robbie Williams was so popular here and still is. He's kind of like the Pink version, like he's the male version of Pink.
Yeah.
In that, hi, Betty.
Not as big, not as.
He was big.
But in terms earlier. Of. Yeah, but in terms of like concerts, Pink has.
Well, she's maintained holding. It. He hasn't maintained no. it. But back in the day, he was doing.
In the
like
noughties.
A football stadium, you know?
Yeah. Did we go?
We went.
And it was raining?
Because everybody went and saw him.
Yeah.
Because it was like Pink. You're like, well, I know I'm going to know most of the songs. So I'm going to go.
And he had that party boy. Jovial nature about him.
Which Aussies like.
Aussies really like that.
So whilst I'm not surprised that he hasn't, that film hasn't been as successful over in the US, I'm still a bit disappointed for him. I think, you know, it's been reviewed really well.
But they must have expected it. Because if the US doesn't truly know who Robbie Williams is, if he's not a household name, you're not going to go see a movie about him, are you?
That's true. Meanwhile, Sonic the Hedgehog 3, number three is in number three spot. It made $11 million over the weekend in the US. It's not too bad for a third one. People are saying it's amazing that they really, 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 really love the trilogy.
Really?
All three of them work really well.
Weren't they really critical of it at the beginning? They didn't like the look of
Sonic? They didn't like the look of it in the trailer, yeah. And then they fixed it, and then they loved the movie. Because that's what the internet is like.
Answer to the people.
Exactly. Tom Holland, he's had a busy couple of weeks.
He's a little bit busy, isn't he?
Engaged now, an engaged man to Zendaya. And now it has been announced that he is going to be in a new John Grisham film. I know. It's not the 1990s. We are saying these words.
We're going back there.
It's really weird.
Is it not, though, because everybody's dressing like it's the 90s? Yeah,
true. So they do look like they're coming out of Beverly Hills.
Bring back the literature.
Yeah. The Partner is the name of this film.
Of course it is.
Which is based on
a book. It's not The Firm. It's The Partner.
I mean, everything he does, everything he writes is or was about lawyers and
corporate
attorneys,
America.
Yeah. This one he wrote in 1997, so it's taken a really long time to be adapted into a film.
They need the perfect
crazy.
Person.
I guess so.
Just joking with you.
Just thinking about the people who have been in films that he has written. Matthew McConaughey, Sandra Bullock, Tommy Lee Jones, of course, with Harrison Ford. Mm. Matt Damon and Claire Danes, they were in The Rainmaker.
Oh.
Julia Roberts, Denzel Washington, Pelican Brief. Do you remember that one? That
Love
was a good
that.
One.
That was a good one.
So many people.
But definitely
oh,
of an
Tom
era.
Cruise.
Yeah, I was wondering why you weren't saying him. Then you made me doubt myself that he was actually in one, but of course he was.
Hmm. That was. I think I've read the book, The Firm, and it was really, like it was a
page.
They
page
are.
Turner.
They're page turners. That's what they are. Maybe we just want a good old action, good old fashioned action movie.
You know, I do feel like we're ready to head back to the good stuff.
Yeah, I think so. So The Partner, I'll give you a bit of a synopsis. It's about a young partner in a law firm who fakes his own death in a burning car. That means his wife, his newborn daughter have been left, mm-hmm. I'm assuming they don't know. Wondering what he's doing. But the fact that he's faked his death to create a template for a new life by stealing $90 million from a client who's, I think, a bad guy. I think.
Okay, so you've put yourself in danger on a lot of levels.
So he goes down to South America and hides out there, and I'm assuming someone finds him.
Would you not go to somewhere really lovely? That doesn't have expedition rights, obviously. I can't think of anywhere right now. But, you know, an island, tropical getaway.
Yeah.
Just.
Well, South America has some tropical areas.
It's true.
Probably don't have expedition stuff.
Okay.
Stuff. I'm a lawyer. I know this stuff. We were talking about The Running Man a while ago and how they're going to do a remake of it. This is the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it was kind of like the Hunger Games, you know, like he had to get through this obstacle course whilst everybody else was trying to kill each other, and last man standing, I think, wins the prize. And it's televised.
Yes.
Well, they have come up and announced who the host, the TV show host is going to be in the show. It is Colman Domenico. You know the guy with the voice?
Yeah.
The guy that you're sure he has played almost every single Shakespearean character on stage at one point in time.
Theatre.
Yeah, exactly. He's from the theatre. I'll be talking about something that he's been in, actually. I might save it till next week because I just want to get through it first
to kind of find
out the ending. But, yeah, he's been announced. Glenn Powell is going to play the main character, the Arnold Schwarzenegger character. And if you're thinking, should I rewatch the TV show or is there something else I can do? You can do that, but you could also read the Stephen King book.
Yes.
Which it's based on. You can do that. I'm sure they're only just announcing who's being cast. You've got time.
Yep.
To read or watch and then completely forget the storyline.
Could probably do both.
That's what I would do. Ready for some watching suggestions?
Of course I am. That's why I'm here.
Me too.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I want to talk about something I watched. This is something I watched last year. So I had to try really hard to remember to watch it, talk about it. It was one of those things that I was in the middle of watching all the Christmas movies and I just needed a break.
Okay.
And I watched a film, I'm pretty sure it was on Amazon Prime, called My Old Ass.
Okay.
It's from last year. And the reason that made me think about it is because it starred Aubrey Plaza. And, of course, there was that horrible news the other week that her husband had passed away. And I then thought, oh, I've seen that movie. And it was pretty good. One of the characters, it was one of the actresses in it is Maddie, is her name Zelliger? Zelliger? The one from Dance Moms, Maddie.
Oh, yeah.
Maddie.
I don't know how to pronounce
it. Totally grown up girl.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, of course
she's the
it
one
is
who does the Sia video clips.
Yes. She was the one that was good.
Yeah.
Like better than the others.
Ziegler?
Yeah, Ziegler
whichever.
Maybe. So this is about a character. She's about 17. She's going to college next year or after the summer. And she is hanging around like her farm, her family's farm, and there are potential changes, big life changes happening there as well as her big life change in going to college and moving away from home. She goes off into the forest with her friends. They have some magic mushrooms. They're all off their faces, and she meets this other person, this older lady, who turns out to be the 39-year-old version of her from the future. And she's like, whatever you do, don't have anything to do with this guy. And she was like, okay. She's like, obviously this guy is bad news.
Yeah.
So she goes like, and every time she sees him, he's just really nice.
Okay.
So there's a whole backstory, obviously.
Oh my gosh, I want you to tell me the whole thing.
It's a really nice film. It's one, I thought it was an interesting take on that idea that's not even just a film or a TV idea. It's what happens in your brain, right? You think, what would I say to my younger self if I had the opportunity? And this is a version of that.
And then you think, if I were to warn them away from somebody, like this synopsis, or say, don't take that job, take this job.
Yeah.
What's the butterfly effect?
Yeah, exactly. And because you were a teenager or whatever, would you listen? Probably not.
Good point. Oh, that's a good point. But you might listen to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like if another adult says, trust me, don't do that. I did that. Don't do it. You'd be like, whatevs.
I know better than you because I'm 15.
I'm 15. Let me live my life.
I know way more than anybody else here at this table. My Old Ass, check it out. I think you'd like it. Prime Video. What have you been watching?
Okay. So I'm not sure if you did actually suggest this or if you suggested the back catalogue of this, but I watched the final Gavin and Stacey episode.
Oh,
the final, final one.
I suggested watching all of it. So I haven't.
Did you watch
I didn't speak about this.
That's what I thought.
I didn't speak about it.
And then I had to go and look for it because I couldn't find it straight away, but I found it and it is the final, 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 final one. And it was the one that was released on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
In the UK, which means by the time it was out here, I was over Christmas.
Look, it's not a Christmas episode, so you don't need to worry about that. And it has been a significant amount of time since I watched Gavin Stacey, but I remember you talking about it and it gives you all those feels. But watching this final or finale, it gives you the feels immediately. You immediately just slot back in. And yes, everybody's aged a bit, but that's normal. And they've aged in a normal way that makes you
feel. Haven't had a bit of work done.
One person has had a bit of work done.
That's a shame.
And it is a shame. Just a face just doesn't move the way it used to. And it's really noticeable and that's all you can notice. And then you feel really bad because you've noticed it and that's all you can think of. But that's what happens. However, what I really liked about this one was clearly everybody in the UK has kept up with Gavin and Stacey and it's just life for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big cultural landmark, yeah. Really.
So they would.
Every time they have a series.
Yeah, and they remember every little tiny detail, where for me it has been a significant amount of time. But what I liked was there weren't any of those awkward lines catching you up. You know how often the reboots and those sorts of things, you're like, oh, that's so awkward. That conversation is so awkward just because you're trying to catch me up. This didn't have it. Or when it did have it, the writing was really clever and it felt normal and natural. But it catches you up where everybody in the cast, all the families, are heading away for Smithy, who's James Corbin's. It's his wedding and he wants to have the perfect Bucks night. But he has to have the party with all the people first before the Bucks night. And in true Gavin and Stacey fashion, things don't quite happen as were planned. Before this finale, there was a huge cliffhanger. I don't know if you remember, of Smithy and Ruth. No, sorry. Ruth's the actress of Nessa. Smithy and Nessa.
All right.
Yeah, when Nessa got down on one knee and proposed.
Yep.
And the season finished. It obviously goes into what the response was, and it's not a response that any of us would expect, but it's a good ending.
Oh, you liked it? You were happy? Gavin and Stacey's finished well?
It finished really well. Okay. It gave everybody what they wanted with roller coaster waves along the way where you're like, oh, no, how is this going to happen? Characters coming in that you didn't expect to ever really see again, but they came in an authentic way. It was fun. It made me laugh out loud, and I'm really glad that I
wonder what
it.
Happened on that fishing trip. One other thing I wanted to talk about was The Skeleton Crew, which is the Star Wars series designed for a younger audience. And the way that the trailer and the first episode made me feel, it was the Goonies vibes Star Wars. Mm. And what happens is, this group of kids on a planet, they find a spaceship underneath the ground. Like, it's basically a mountain.
It's a pirate ship. Were there booby traps?
They start it. Yeah, so booby traps. They started it. They go out into outer space.
Of course they do.
The droid on there speaks like a pirate, which is really fun.
Yep.
And they're like, okay, now you need to take us back home. And they're like, and the robot says, I don't know where that is. And then they go somewhere else. They land somewhere and they're like, we need to get back to this island, this planet. They're like, I don't know what that is. Don't know what you're saying. Their island is hidden. Island! Their planet is hidden from the rest of the galaxy. And why? And how are they going to get back? It's fun. I really enjoy it.
I do enjoy that it's kids that have taken a rocket ship.
Yeah.
Let's just get in this and let's just go into the universe.
Just give it a go.
And every adult back on their inverted commas island is like,
freaking
out. What are you doing?
Yep.
Yeah.
And they show the parents every now and then. They're just like, oh my God, what the hell are we going to do? Because we know why nobody knows where our planet is. What the hell are we going to do?
Oh my God. Just go and play with your toys.
Jude Law is in it. He's having a lot of fun being a pirate.
Oh, he's the pirate.
Yeah, he's a bit of a troublemaker. We get a flashback at the very beginning of the first episode. He was a bit of a bad guy, and then I think there was a bit of a mutiny.
Okay.
And then you flash forward and he becomes part of this group.
He's going to get softened by the kids.
Oh, I think so. I think that's exactly what it is. Good. I'm enjoying it. I don't care what anybody on Twitter or X says because I don't go on there anymore, but because they just complain about everything.
Keyboard warriors.
And also,
don't worry about
I don't want every second post to be Elon Musk. I'm just not
interested.
Not interested. What else do you want to talk about?
I dabbled in season 3 of The Lincoln Lawyer on Netflix. This is a Netflix series about a lawyer. How funny is that?
That's so weird.
Know, right?
What a premise.
He drives a Lincoln. Like,
and John Grisham spoiler. Watches every episode.
It's in LA though, so a little bit different. It season 3 picks up with all the characters, the ones you know, the ones you love, and it picks up with the story of season two and goes straight into it, carries it through, which I wasn't expecting. I was kind of expecting
a bit of time to be passed.
A bit of time different. To pass, okay. And different cases. Of course, there are different cases, but they're really trying to follow along what happened to somebody who was present in season two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you would get much out of it if you haven't watched season one and two.
First two.
I just think the backstories are explained enough to not be sitting there in season three going, who is that person? Mm, okay. Why are they talking like that? Are they alluding to – I think you would be wasting your time having those questions than just going back and watching
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay.
It's a fun one in that it feels like a comic book series, those sort of detective series ones, but it's not the detective, it's the lawyer, but that has sort of come to life.
Adventures.
And yeah, the director and the cinematography is really fun, the way they film things, the scenes that you look at and you go, I could actually see that made into a comic strip. Mm. The way that it's those shots have been set up, it's really fun
stylized.
Like that. Really stylized, colourful. The characters are interesting. It's just a fun, easy sort of watch.
Which
it's
is
nice.
Which is lovely. You're in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
This is the kind of genre of TV show that's good to watch.
Yeah, it's not too heavy. It's not brain draining. It's just enjoyable. And I think that's
something new and fresh also.
It made me think the Janet Ivanovich series about Stephanie Plum. I mean, there's 30 or so of them. Mm. Like, this is the kind of thing, if they could do each book as a season, that would make a really good television series, I reckon. I know they did one movie of it with Katherine Heigl,
from
Grey's Anatomy.
Yep, that's right.
And I enjoyed it because I enjoyed those books.
Yeah, you knew who they were. Mm.
I don't know that it did too well,
yeah,
but I do feel like
those books are so popular.
So popular, and I think it would be a popular TV series. And you could have several seasons because there's so many books.
It'd be good to have a different car in every episode.
Yeah,
or season.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe season, you'd be waiting for when the car comes.
Like, how is the car going to get destroyed this season?
Yeah. Are you ready for a quiz?
Yeah, I am.
Come over here. Bring your microphone. Come and sit on this rickety chair or move the chairs, whichever you feel safe doing, because I have picked a quiz from BuzzFeed and we're going to do it together.
Okay.
So it's called This Movie Quiz Will Be Easy for Boomers But Way Too Hard for Millennials.
Right.
All right, we start off easy. Which Disney classic would you find Marie Beloise and Toulouse in? Would it be Bed Knobs and Broomsticks, Aristocats, Pete's Dragon, or The Rescuers? I kind of want to say Aristocats.
Correct.
Yes, we got it.
Yes.
Jeez, we're good.
I know.
Finish this line. It's from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
The options are clothes, cars, school, or roads.
Roads, right?
Roads, because they're flying in
in
time.
Who played the first James Bond? Was it Sean Connery, Roger Moore, George Lazenby, or Timothy Dalton? It was Sean, right?
I don't know.
Yes, I got it right.
I'm not a Bond.
From the 1962 film Dr. No. Same. Oh, this is so easy.
Easy, totally
name
easy.
Name this movie star. We're just going to tell you it's Molly Ringwald.
It's Molly Ringwald.
So obvious. We're going well. We might be a boomer.
We might.
We might be. Jonathan Caquin played Short Round in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, but what other Spielberg movie did he star in? We just spoke about it.
The Goonies. Booby Traps.
It's a booby trap. We did it. Okay. This scene from Carrie what are the mean girls shouting? Are they shouting, period, plug it up, you're a freak, or die, Carrie?
I've never seen it.
I don't know if I think I have.
I want to say you're a freak.
I want to say you're a freak. Oh, it's called
plug
it up.
Okay.
Bugger. Okay.
Ugh, it looks gross.
What movie would you find this young gentleman in? It's I can a tell screenshot you, it's from definitely Grease. It's so easy, you could barely even blink. Who is Eddie Murphy playing here? This was from the movie that I watched recently.
Yeah.
Called Trading Places. His name was not Axel Foley.
Is it a Christmas movie? Because it looks like yeah,
it wasn't. Lights. I didn't really think it was very good. I can't remember. Maybe Randy Watson.
It's Reggie Hammond.
Reggie Hammond, or I'm Billy guessing. Ray Valentine.
It's not Billy Ray. Maybe Valentine.
Randy. I can't remember.
Randy, you choose. Reggie, you watched it.
Billy Ray. Randy. Oh, it was Billy Ray. I couldn't remember. I was just calling him Eddie the whole time. Which Star Wars movie is this scene from? We can tell you it is definitely 100% Jabba the Hutt in Return of the Jedi. Too easy. All right. Name this movie star.
Oh.
Jennifer okay. Beals, Goldie Hawn, no. Pam Grier, or Whoopi Goldberg?
It's Pam Grier. Because I know who Whoopi Goldberg, Jennifer, oh, you knew the others. Goldies.
Okay.
Goldie is.
Which of these is a scene from National Lampoon's Animal House? I know it's the one with the
togas.
The togas. That's how I know. We got it.
We got 9 out of 11.
85%.
No, we scored better than 85%.
We are definitely a baby boomer.
We are definitely baby boomers.
Either that or you're just an expert when it comes to older classics. You were born during the golden age of Hollywood. You know that CGI and special effects have nothing on a good classic. All the better if it's black and white. None of those films was black and white, right? Talking about... You take the Brat Pack over the Avengers every time. Well, of course
we would. Yeah, we would, 100%. Absolutely,
that's it. And you'd probably daydream about the good old days when Harrison Ford was in pretty much everything. Of course, yeah. It's Harrison Ford.
You know why we excel at this?
Yeah.
Because we were only ever allowed to hire the weeklies. $2 video movie, yeah. We weren't allowed the new releases. No,
so we were watching the old stuff. It was not even that old. Back then, they were not that old. They were like they were, but
back
they weren't.
Back in the good days.
The good old days. I loved every single moment of that. Stephanie, thank you very much.
Ah, oh, the golden age of Hollywood. Our era.
1985. Far out.